Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're in for another edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be along with you on the afternoon drive, and we have a packed show today. Packed show. One of those days where an hour is just not going to be enough. We are on the eve of the restart of the 3A baseball and softball state championship tournaments. Tomorrow, both Carbon and Emory will play on both diamonds. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. We had Coach Jeff Cincinnatus on the show today. We're going to talk about that again. We'll have Coach Kurt Nunley of the Carbon Lady Dinos on the show, and we'll also talk baseball with Coach Rob Smith. So plenty coming up there. And, of course, it is Wednesday, so we have to bring in Bill Lasky for our weekly Major League Baseball talk. There's so much I want to get into today. Yesterday it was dominated by the Oakland A's potentially leaving the Bay Area, which I believe it's going to happen. I'm curious to get Bill's thoughts on this because he handles the pre- and post-game shows for the San Francisco Giants. So he is right there in the heart of the Bay Area. What's the vibe like? Also, Bill being a former pitcher, I think he could speak on this. Hunter Green. You may or may not remember the name. The kid was a phenom coming out of high school. Second overall pick in 2017. He was a two-way player. Had to have Tommy John surgery. Returned to the diamond earlier this week. He threw 37 fastballs over 100 miles an hour. He clocked 105 on one of those. I can't even comprehend the human body throwing a baseball 105 miles an hour. My goodness. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. The NFL schedule has been trickling out throughout the day, and we know what's going to be the kickoff game. Thursday, September 9th, the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers will play host to the Dallas Cowboys. That'll be at Raymond James Stadium. It'll mark the first time that the Bucs will play in the kickoff game in the season opening contest that was introduced, it was like 2002, 2001, early 2000s. Tampa's never played in that game. We know the first Sunday night football game. It'll be at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles between the Rams and the Bears. We'll be talking more about the NFL schedule tomorrow. We'll dive down, take a look at the best games on the schedule, on the slate, which has, again, just been trickling out over the last 24 hours or so. Let's look at the schedule in the NBA. The Utah Jazz make their return to the court tonight in a highly important contest. They take on the Portland Trailblazers. This is a big one. Maybe not so much for Utah. Again, they have that one seed, I think, locked up. I don't see any way Phoenix is going to surpass Utah. Only three games left. Utah right now clinging to a two-game lead over Phoenix. But Portland is the five seed right now. And they're a full game ahead of the Los Angeles Lakers to avoid the play-in round, tied with Dallas at six. This is a big, big game. And around this time, you start asking, are you better off winning or losing? I think Utah, they need this win. They don't want the Lakers in that seven spot. You want LA in the sixth seed. That's where you want the Lakers. So Utah, in my mind, they need to win this game tonight against the Portland Trailblazers. Live coverage of tonight's game will air right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Start time is scheduled for 7:30, so live coverage at 7:20. David Locke, Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play call. Other matchups tonight, the Lakers and the Rockets are in the nightcap at 8:30. We get the Pelicans and the Mavericks at 7. 6 o'clock hour, Boston at Cleveland. Spurs take on Brooklyn. And the whole NBA slate will actually begin at 5 p.m. as we get Washington at Atlanta. It's a quick check of what's happening in the NBA. Quiet day in the national sports front other than the NFL schedules. Let's pause for just a moment. Packed show coming up. Three guests, and we're going to continue on in just a moment right here on Drive Time Sports.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're going to continue the softball / baseball previews. We've been doing that all week here on Drive Time Sports. Yesterday, we talked Carbon High School baseball. Today, we're going to talk softball. The Lady Dinos picked up a big win in the opening round of the state tournament last weekend, topping Richfield 11-1, and now they'll move on to face the Grand Red Devils. This game will go down tomorrow at 10 a.m. Joining us right now to talk about that, we have head coach Kurt Nunley. Coach, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate it, Jordan. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, always look forward to the conversations, Coach. And we'll start by talking about the game against Richfield. Third meeting with the Wildcats. It's a team that you guys handled with ease in region play. But as you and I talked about last week, never easy to beat a good team three times. You guys did manage this, though, 11-1.
Yeah, it's never easy to play a team three times during the season. And we get that tomorrow, too, with Grand. We'll play them the third time. And we beat them once, they beat us once, and so, but Richfield, you know, I got to tip my hat to Richfield. They did play us tough. You know, they had some good defensive plays in the outfield, and you know, their pitching had us off balance a little bit for early in the game. Towards the, you know, end of the game, we ended up starting to pick up our hits a little bit more in that game, but I do have to tip my hat to Richfield and you know, with the way that they played against us, and I'm just very happy that we ended up getting the win and moving forward to the second round.
Yeah, Coach, how much did home field advantage really play in for you guys as an advantage in this game?
Huge. There was a huge crowd, the biggest crowd I've seen at a softball game since I've been coaching at Carbon High School. And, you know, this is my fifth year as a head coach, and I coached as a varsity assistant for 4 years, but having that home field advantage is huge, just because you get such a huge community support, which is very, very, you know, a motivational booster for the whole team. So, but yeah, that having that home field advantage is great, because you know how the field's going to bounce in the outfield, or how the ball is going to bounce in the outfield, and how it's going to bounce in the infield. So very, very much advantage.
Coach, the second game was Grand and Delta. Did you pay attention to that game at all?
I never did. Grand and Delta and us and Richfield were all playing at the same time. And I know that Grand ended up beating them 16, ended up beating Delta 16-0. And our game was still going on when they ended. So I was never able to see their game.
Yeah, but nonetheless, you're very familiar with this Grand team, and we'll talk about them in just a moment. Coach, after getting the victory over Richfield, tournament win at home, we talked about how rare that is for Kerman to actually be playing at home in the state tournament. What was the girls' reaction?
You know, that's a great question, because, you know, I know that we've played Richfield twice before, but when you get into a state game, the atmosphere, the feeling of it is just 100% different. And, you know, some of the girls even came up to me and said, "Coach, I'm just nervous. I know we played Richfield, you know, twice before, but I'm still nervous." And so, you know, that feel, that the adrenaline that you get in a state game, it's just totally a different feeling than it is during the normal season. So, yeah, it's something that it's electrifying, I guess you could say, Jordan.
Yeah, it definitely is, and that would bring me to my next question, as far as moving on. I mean, you guys have not played a lot of softball over the last 2 weeks, Coach, and you know, maybe you need something like that to rejuvenate these kids, because you guys played such a large quantity of ball and then it kind of dies down ahead of the state tournament, and then you guys haven't played at all this week, and then you got to play potentially three more games over the next 3 days. And so just looking at the amount of rest, I'm sure that that was much needed, right? That adrenaline that you guys had playing at home.
Yeah, it was. It was needed for the girls, but also the coaching staff. And, you know, obviously having a game, you know, once or twice a week helps the motivation keep going so the girls don't get burned out. But, you know, it also helps in the classroom as well. Spring sports were consistently gone from school, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week. So when we have, you know, some breaks in here between the regular season and postseason, it helps these girls keep up with their grades here at school, and we're getting towards the end of school being done. So having that week there where they can get caught up, go talk to their teachers, it's actually beneficial when it comes to, you know, as a student athlete.
Again, our guest right now, Coach Kurt Nunley of the Kerman Lady Dino softball team. Coach, let's jump ahead. We'll talk about Grand. Oh, this is interesting here because you guys play Grand twice in the regular season. You split the season set. Now you meet again in the state tournament. So the rubber match, more important than either of the two previous matchups.
100%. Yeah, this, you know, the postseason, it's obviously, you know, it's you're pretty much starting over. And so the other two games kind of prepared us for this third game that we're going to play. And so when it comes down to it, it's everyone's a little bit more, I guess the adrenaline's a little bit higher for this third game just because everything's on the line on this one. And so I think going into this game against Grand, I've seen the girls over the practice the last few days, and their intensity, their motivation is super high. And us as a coaching staff, our intensity and our motivation is super high, and it's great to see it. And I honestly think with everything that's been going on with practice, and then, you know, with the girls having the intensity the way that they are, I'm just hoping that we come out of the gates tomorrow, you know, on fire and ready to get after it.
You don't want to look too far ahead, Coach, but if you do beat Grand, it's a great chance that you'll get Manti, and that game will be Friday, and you guys had a thriller earlier on in the season.
We did, and to be honest with you, Jordan, we should have won that game. We were up early that game. I believe we were up 3-0 early in that game, and then they came back, and you know, they went up on 2 on us. Having 4 runs there in the bottom of the 7th. We were up 4 runs on them, and then they ended up scoring 5 on us in that bottom of the 7th to win at 9-8. But I've got a lot of confidence in that game. I know that I believe that when the bracket came out, I'm sure Manti saw us, that we were in their bracket. And I know that they're worried about us, because it was a tough game, and we're a really good hitting team when it comes to good pitching. So Manti's got a very, very good pitcher, and we've got to have a lot of confidence going in, because when it comes to good pitching, our hitters, we can hit good pitching. So we've got a lot of confidence. If we ended up winning Grand tomorrow, we've got a lot of confidence against Manti.
Coach, the advantage to just having to play one game on Thursday obviously is astronomical. I mean, a loss would put you guys in the one-loss bracket. Then you'd have to play again, and you could potentially have to play 3 games tomorrow. That's how big tomorrow morning's game is.
Very big. Yeah, we don't want to lose that 10 o'clock game tomorrow. You know, just obviously with fatigue, with players, you know, with catching and pitching, and you want to make sure that you win that first game. So you don't have to, you know, look at your pitchers to carry you through several games to try to get to the championship game and having that fatigue. So, yeah, tomorrow's game against Grand at 10 a.m. is a huge game.
Coach, how does the pitching look for you guys ahead of tomorrow's matchup, knowing that this is it, 3 more days, season's over? How do you handle pitching?
Well, you know, the good thing about softball is you don't have to do pitch counts like you do in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you wanted to rely on one pitcher the entire tournament, as a coach, you can do that. You know, we're lucky that we do have some good pitchers on this team. You know, we've got, four pitchers on this team that definitely could go in and we could use them at any time during the game. So I'm fortunate, I'm lucky that I do have some good pitching on my team that I feel like if one is struggling, I can go to the next one and be okay.
Do you also play it, Coach, even if you have one that's succeeding and you guys are up comfortably, do you pull her?
You know, that's a good question. And sometimes as a coach, you're like, you know, I think we should just end it as soon as we can. So to be honest with you, Jordan, I wouldn't pull her. I would just say we're just going to go with her. She's throwing well. You know, let's just keep the foot on the gas pedal here and let's just end the game. So if she's pitching well, if she's doing well, let's not change up anything to try to get this team back into the game. So I would not pull her. I would just lay on the gas and keep going.
Yeah, I like that answer, Coach. I know if I ask 10 coaches that question, I probably get 10 different answers. So it's a great way to look at it. Again, tomorrow, Carbon going toe-to-toe with Grand. Start time for that game, 10 a.m. Coach Kurt Nunley joining us over the phone. Coach, always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time, and I look forward to talking with you again next week as we are hopefully talking about some really, really good happenings this weekend.
Yes, for sure. Yes, and just to let everyone know out there that if they want to watch the Grand versus Carbon High School softball game, we'll be on KSL. If they want to go onto KSL.com and find us on there, they can watch us play tomorrow. I know KSL is going to be streaming that. So if anyone in Carbon County wants to watch us, they can go ahead and do that. But, Jordan, I appreciate you interviewing me. It's always a pleasure to be on the radio with you and your support for Carbon High School sports.
Well, it's my pleasure, Coach. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Let's pause once again. We do have more Drive Time sports coming up. When we return, we'll move over to the national side of things. We'll talk Major League Baseball. We'll be joined by Bill Lasky right after this. Plus, more high school baseball talk. It's all straight ahead.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Time for our weekly baseball chat with former big league pitcher Bill Lasky. I look forward to this segment each week. We jump all over the big leagues. We talk national, we talk American, we talk all the big storylines, and there's plenty happening right now in Major League Baseball. Bill Lasky, former pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, and now you can hear him on KNBR doing pre- and post-game shows for the Giants. Bill, always a pleasure. Thank you again.
Yeah, another good week of baseball, no doubt about it. The NL West is, again, competing against each other, and all over Major League Baseball. There's some really good baseball going on, and also minor league baseball starts. So we can delve into a little minor league baseball, too.
Yeah, minor league baseball is, it's a world of its own. It's so unique. In fact, I got to ask you a question, and we're going to start in the minor leagues. I got to bring up Hunter Green, the number 2 overall pick in 2017. He was hyped as a two-way player when he came out of high school. A lot of hype around this kid. Struggled early, had Tommy John surgery. Well, most recently, during his stint in Double-A, he threw 37 fastballs over 100 miles per hour, and on one of the clocks, even hit close to 105. Bill, I couldn't believe this when I read this, and I don't know if you remember the hype around Hunter Green when he came out in 2017. He's a kid that I have followed just because I was so interested in him as a two-way player when he came out of high school, but to throw 37 fastballs over 100 miles per hour, which is a new record, it's insanity to think about.
It really is. It's amazing. One, from the Tommy John surgery, that his elbow's tightener now, you know, the tendon tightens up, and Now it's starting to produce these unbelievable numbers on the speed gun. And who knows how high it's going to get, you know, because that's probably the highest I have heard anybody throwing. I remember back in the day, J.R. Richard and Nolan Ryan throwing 100 to 101, and I was shaking my head at something like that. But these numbers just keep going up, you know. There's been some numbers in the 103s and 102s. When you're standing in a box at 60 feet 6 inches and that coming that fast, you have no time to blink yet, even try to make contact. And you're hoping the guy isn't wild, because that would really have many injuries. But Hunter Green is a top prospect, and we will see how he develops. And like you said, he's in Double A. Eyes are on him, and that's only makes him, you know, if he continues to progress, you might see him in the big leagues by midsummer.
Yeah, Bill, and it brings up a fascinating point. You mentioned Tommy John surgery. I know Dustin May from the Dodgers has to undergo Tommy John surgery, or already did, and this is a kid that has some nasty stuff as well. There's been some Tommy John surgeries pop up in the National League West, a division that we both follow extremely close. And again, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I have to go back to it. It's no longer a death sentence. In fact, it may not be a bad thing to have Tommy John surgery anymore.
It seems that way. You know, Tyler Beede, who's been a number one pick here a few years ago, had it last year out of spring training. He developed stiffness in the forearm, and that's the first sign you always hear when a pitcher comes out of the game. Oh, he had stiffness in the forearm. Well, that's the first cause of the tendon starting to split, starting to rupture, and that's the first sign that everybody thinks Tommy John. Well, you replace a tendon from your leg or somewhere part in your body, and you put it into your elbow, and it takes usually a year, 14 months to recover, and then you go through the whole structure of throwing, release point, you know, getting the muscle to relax. I mean, there's a lot of bricks you have to put in order to get that to work. Now, you never hear the side where it doesn't work, because sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes that structure just doesn't grow right, and you don't have that rhythm of out of your arm of a fastball. So, you know, both sides to it, yes, it does help if you do it right and you don't push yourself. Some guys try to push, you know, themselves to get ready in less than a year, and it really does take 12 months to 14 months for that arm to come back in and work its way out. Tommy John is something that it seems like everybody's doing out of high school, out of college, and this injury is by overthrowing, trying to get excess speed and trying to throw as hard as you can without good mechanics and without good nature of how I can throw and be loose.
Again, our guest right now, Bill Lasky, as we talk Major League Baseball. Bill, have not had you on the show since the release of Albert Pujols. I wanted to get your thoughts on this as well as we jump over to the American League. This is a guy that for sure is going to go into the Hall of Fame, and I guess the question is, have we seen the last of him, or does someone pick up Pujols at some point in time?
That's a good question. I don't know if somebody would. He wants to play. He doesn't want to be a bench player. I think that's kind of the push that he made with the Angels by saying, hey, you know, I'd like to be a DH. I wouldn't mind playing some first base. Hitting under 200, I think they had the right to say, hey, it's not working. I'd rather bring some young players up. We always talk about the Angels trying to get better, and I think that's why they got rid of him, and they DFA'd him. It wasn't like he just took a release. They DFA'd him. So if somebody wants him, they got to trade for him. Of course, he goes through the period where does he want to play anymore? Say, I know Tony La Russa came out and said, I would love to have him, but he would not fit in with the White Sox. Cardinals even said, would we bring him back? He wants to play. I don't know where he would play with the Cardinals. I think it's really going to go down to Albert Pujols. This is his last year of a 10-year contract. He's set for life, of course, and I do believe he will get into the Hall of Fame. He's got Hall of Fame numbers. One of the things I was reading, in his whole career, he never struck out more than less than 100 times each year. He never struck out more than 100 times. And this year, he just wasn't putting the ball in play. He wasn't Albert Pujols as we know he is. Sure, he's up in age. I just wonder if somebody will pick him up in the American League, possibly to DH. But again, I think it really sways on Albert Pujols and what he wants to do.
So it's funny because you and I were talking about the Angels last week, and then not long after that segment, they release Albert Pujols. Is it fair, or I don't want to be disrespectful when I say this, because I agree with you, he is a Hall of Famer. But was it a $240 million flop for the Angels when they signed him to that contract 10 years ago?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that kind of money came. But did he get the years out of him? He had a few good years there. And I just, you know, when you look at a Hall of Famer, you don't want to end your career being released. That's not a real tough sign. That's as tough to eat and swallow and realize, hey, I'm out of baseball because somebody released me. And I'm supposed to be going into the Hall of Fame in the next few years. So I was wondering if he will kick on with somebody else and see if he can help a team all-star break it on and just see if there's any more life in his bat.
Bill Lasky, again, our guest right now. Bill, I have to ask you about the story that broke yesterday in the Oakland A's, the idea that they may be on their way out of Oakland. And I talked about this for about 15 minutes on the show yesterday, going over the franchise value numbers. And just looking at the idea that the Oakland Raiders increased their franchise value over the last 5 years by 117% by moving to Las Vegas. The Los Angeles Rams increased their value by 176% from moving from St. Louis to Los Angeles. I've always viewed Las Vegas as an extension of the LA market. You still have West Coast fans. Oakland to Las Vegas just seems very logical at this point in time. What are you hearing in the Bay Area?
Well, it's funny because I was watching early morning news today, and the mayor came on from Oakland and just said, yes, Major League Baseball has always had an out for the Oakland A's if we cannot build a stadium. They've come through who said, hey, you know, try to get a stadium built, try to get taxpayers to pay it. They have been working down in Jack London Square to see if they can do it. You know, the blueprint has been made. The fans got excited. Oakland Coliseum, you can't continue to play there. It's way out of date. So many plumbing issues, so many things, the factors of it. Great location, great parking, easy to get to, but there's been nobody to put money into it. I think that's one of the reasons why the Raiders wanted to get out of there. And look what the Raiders done in Las Vegas. I'm with you in a possible move to Las Vegas. Of course, the Aviators are there. They're AAA team. They would have to move out of there. I've been hearing Vancouver is being one, even Montreal being one. So I know Montreal wants a team back up there. Again, both these places would have to build, all these places would have to build a stadium for the Oakland A's. They have a contract, a lease for another couple of years here. But I really believe they're gonna mount an attack and get out of here.
Really? So you would be surprised if they are in Oakland, let's say, in 2 years?
Yeah, I think they'll be gone. If they can get somebody, as you said, I think Vegas is a perfect slot. Oakland Raiders moved there. Now they're Las Vegas Raiders. You watch how that stadium's going to fill up. And there's so many easy flights from Oakland to Las Vegas for people to commute. You can easily drive there. I just think that's a great surplus of Oakland A's fans to go there and watch baseball. And you know what? Vegas is starting to be an all-sports town. I mean, the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm very interested in seeing what kind of capacity they're going to have this year. Is that stadium, I've seen some of the views of it. They took a couple things on video. It's gorgeous. I have not seen it in the inside yet, but that's all I've heard is how beautiful it is.
Yeah, and on top of that, hockey has seemed to work out just fine. So it does seem logical that Las Vegas would be the next stop for the Oakland A's. Again, Bill Lasky, our guest right now, former big league pitcher, now spends his time doing pre- and post-game shows for the San Francisco Giants. Bill, for the most part, COVID-19 has not played a factor into the current baseball season. I know that early on we had the Washington Nationals. Yeah, what wasn't an overall huge deal. Plus, that team is loaded as far as their farm system is concerned. They can bring up guys like Carter Kieboom or Luis Garcia. They were fine. But we did hear the news that Fernando Tatis tested positive. We know that the Padres are going to be down to Mateo and Profar as well. And then the news breaks that the Yankees had a third and first base coach test positive as well. So really, it's kind of an eye-opener. We were lucky for the first month of this season.
It sure is, but reports are coming in today that some of these players refuse to take the vaccine. Multi-million-dollar contracts, and players are saying, no, I don't want to take the vaccine. I'm fine with the details if I catch it or whatever. But Major League Baseball, if they're going to make this happen, they're going to have to do something for some of these players that are against the vaccine, as well as teams, because the Padres, that's just going to enable more and more players to catch it or be in contact with it. Will Myers was another name that was brought up. Somehow, some way, there's got to be an education about the vaccine to some of these young players and not have them stubborn and not take it. And I think that's what happened with this Padre team.
It is unfortunate, especially when you look at San Diego. And, Bill, this is a team that just hasn't meshed offensively yet.
Yeah, I watched them for the last two weekends, you know, and the Giants really played them well. And they're, you know, they beat them two out of three times in San Francisco this past weekend. The Giants are playing exceedingly better than everybody thinks, but they're playing consistent. They just beat Texas two straight, 22 wins. They're tied with the Cardinals for the most wins in a National League. And I think what people are starting to see is, how are they winning? Well, you're winning with Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, great starting staff, and the bullpen's starting to come together. So this team likes Gabe Kapler, likes to interject lefties against righties and righties against lefties, and he has no problem in the middle of the game substituting, and it seems to be working. So a big eight-game road trip for the Giants coming up here. They travel to Pittsburgh today. They play four in Pittsburgh. Then they go on to play four against Cincinnati. And then it comes down to Dodgers and Arizona to end the month of May. And we're going to see how good this quality team is as we keep watching this NL West.
Bill Lasky, again, our guest. Bill, always a pleasure to get you on the show to talk all things Major League Baseball. Before I let you go, I got to let you, of course, tell the listeners where they can find more of you and some of the great things you're doing at KNBR.
Yeah, KNBR, 680 AM, 104.5 FM. You can stream it on the pre- and post-games every weekend. This weekend they're in Pittsburgh, so we're on 11 AM on Saturday. And we have a 6 AM pregame show on Sunday. So it's an early riser, but a lot of good baseball talk as we preview the Pirates. And then after the game, I do an extra inning show post-game. This Saturday, I'm going to have Dave Parker on with the writer that wrote the book Cobra. And you and I both have talked about Dave Parker fighting Parkinson's. And then I'm going to bring Kent Tekulve on as Tyler Rogers is doing fantastic with the Giants, the submarine pitcher. And we're going to talk about Kent's pluses and minuses from throwing from the side. So some good previews coming up for the weekend. And as always, love talking to you every Wednesday.
Yeah, it's always fun. Bill, thank you so much for the time. Can't wait till next week. Thank you.
All right, my friend. Take care, and all of your listeners, be careful.
Let's pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL. 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're going to talk more high school baseball here on Drive Time Sports. Talked softball earlier in the show, just talked Major League Baseball. Let's talk high school. Tomorrow, the 3A state tournament is going to continue, and it's win or go home for the Emory Spartans after suffering a loss to the number one ranked team, Juab, in a game that came down to the wire. We're going to talk about that and more right now. Joining us over the phone, we have manager Rob Smith. Coach, a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jordan.
Yeah, always look forward to it, Coach. And before we jump into tomorrow's game, I just talked about the way you guys played in that second round matchup with number one, Juab. Not only did you have a solid opportunity to win this game, you had Juab really on the ropes. You could sense some sort of urgency from this team.
Yeah, we've played great baseball, that type of baseball that I've been saying, hey, we're capable of it. We just got to put a game together and have it. And we played that game. Unfortunately, came up short. Ball didn't quite bounce our way when we needed it to, and that's baseball. So bounce back, and let's get ready to go again this week.
Yeah, over the weekend, Coach, you guys pick up a victory over Morgan. You dominate 12-1. And then suffer that loss to Juab 5-3. So it wasn't as if it was just one game. I mean, you guys played solid baseball throughout the entire day.
Yeah, I mean, we swung the bats well. They threw their ace against Juab threw their ace against us, and we hit him well. We gave ourselves chances. We had runners on and in scoring position almost every inning.
Throughout the weekend, Coach, you also got a solid performance from Luke Stilson. He was dynamic at the plate, came up with some real timely hits.
Yeah, Luke swung it well. I was more happy with how he threw against Morgan. Going into the game, didn't know a lot about Morgan. Just basically looking at their box scores, some look like they swung it well some games and struggled other games. So, you know, we threw Luke, and he went out and dealt. He gave up one hit, and it was actually on a bunt. So, kind of a tough deal there. So,
all in all, Coach, when you look at some of the other performances, because obviously pitch count does matter, and I know not as much last week, considering these kids had almost a full week off, but is there any certain way you approach what now lies ahead, knowing that you guys have the pitch count and you have to win essentially seven games to win a championship?
It definitely is in the back of my mind, but you can't look past anybody. You got to go win. It's win or go home. So I feel like we got to attack it. We got to be aggressive and use who we have to use and try to piece it together after that. So
I know it's the win or go home mindset. Sometimes it's kind of hard to wrap your head around it because it is win or go home, but in the same token, you want to make sure you set yourself up for the next round. That's got to be a real tricky way to manage, right? I mean, do you think about, okay, if I pull this kid now, we can still save him for, say, Friday? I mean, do you think of any of that, Coach, or is it just one game at a time from here on out?
A little bit, just kind of a one game at a time here is my thought. We've talked about it a little bit as a coaching staff, and like I said, it's win or go home. You got to make it to the next day, and then we're going to try to piece it together from there.
Again, our guest right now, manager Rob Smith of the Emory Spartan baseball team. We'll talk about Emory's opponent, North St. Pete, tomorrow. Coach, it is an opponent that we've seen before. 1:30 start time of this game against North St. Pete, a squad that did knock off Providence Hall to get to this stage.
Yeah, North St. Pete, you know, we had them earlier in the year. For six innings, we played really well. Fell apart in one inning. What it comes down to is kind of what I preached all year: play good, clean baseball, and put the ball in play. Give yourself a chance to score runs, and we should be fine.
Coach, I mean, from a media perspective, I'm always looking at the road, what it's going to take to get back up into the upper half of the bracket. And if you were to get past North St. Pete, you have to believe it's a rematch with Carbon, a team that you guys beat at Carbon. And then you start looking at what's in that upper bracket. I mean, Richfield is still there. That's a team that you had a lot of success against. The road is set up for either Carbon or Emory to really do some damage in this one-loss bracket.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we want to be there, and we want to give ourselves a chance. I just mentioned it a second ago, but if we play good, clean baseball, we have a chance to beat anybody. And that's kind of the mindset the kids had going in against JUAB. And we had that opportunity. We just fell a little short. But that's the mindset I want them to have this week is, hey, if you guys play good, clean, relaxed baseball, there's a chance that you can go beat anybody. And that's what I think is true with these kids. So,
well, Coach, I know you're stepping away from practice, so I'm going to let you go here in just a moment. Before I let you go, how do you handle the traveling over the next 3 days? Do you guys take off tonight or tomorrow?
We're going to take off in the morning. We don't play till 1:30, so we don't have to leave way early. We're going to leave in the morning and get a good quality practice in tonight and get the mindset right and go forward.
Well, Coach, again, always a pleasure to get you on. Best of luck as you guys travel up north tomorrow, and hopefully we'll talk to you again real soon. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jordan.
Again, Emory tomorrow taking on North St. Pete at 1:30 p.m. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll update you throughout the entire day of all the high school baseball taking place. We are out of time of this edition of the show. I want to thank Coach Rob Smith, Coach Kurt Nunley, and, of course, Bill Lasky for taking up the time to join us. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Be safe. We are out.